said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." So it's a relatively short parable, 14 verses. There's a couple different aspects to it. And first of all, let's identify, early on who the characters are involved, or who the representations are. I have notes in my Bible, and I wish I had made better notation of who these notes were from, but somewhere along the line we studied Matthew, and I have a sneaking suspicion it might have been Brother Garner that I wrote these notes down for. But in any case, you probably have the same thing in some of your Bibles, maybe some notes you've taken over the years, and I found them to be real helpful. So, In verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. So we have two characters in that verse. The certain king, who is with question God, and a marriage for his son being the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can talk about the marriage. And some of the parable kind of needs to be looked at from a cultural perspective of what took place in those days. And it's an interesting parable in that sense. It's also kind of a current parable as of that time. And then there are also some almost prophetic aspects to this parable, too. An interesting parable. So we have two main characters, God and Christ, in verse 3. And then in verse 3, he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. So, in verse 3, who are these servants? These servants would represent the prophets in the Old Testament. And the early part of this parable deals with God's invitation to the Jews. The children of Israel, verse 3, and they were not willing to come. So early on in the Old Testament, we see a rejection of God in Christ his Son. Now, we come up to a more current time in this parable. In verse 4, again, he sent out other servants, saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding." So, again, culturally, what would happen, I think we talked about this in one of the other parables, in that culture, an invitation was sent out beforehand to tell people, okay, there's going to be a dinner coming, so begin to get ready for this event. So that was the first part of it there. And then there would be a second invitation sent out after everything was prepared and it was ready to go. And that's what we're talking about here, is the second invitation that went out to the others. And the other servants, now we've moved up again in time-wise, you can see by looking there, the fatted calf, and all things are ready. So this would signify that this is the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are ready. The Lord who has The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. So those that have been invited were not responding, were not worthy to come to the wedding, maybe in their own eyes, maybe certainly not the Lord's, but they weren't worthy. Verse 9, therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So this clearly is a reference to the invitation to the Gentiles, the gospel given out to the Gentiles. Verse 10, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. In verse 10, it's an interesting phrase there. They gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. You know, that's us, both the bad and the good. Well, ultimately, we're all sinful. You know, ultimately, we're all bad in that respect. But, you know, there are some that see themselves as not as bad. But ultimately, the wedding hall was filled with all these Gentiles, these people that got the second invitation, and how glad they must have been to get this invitation, because the hall was filled with guests. So there's, you know, the place is packed. You know, this invitation went out to the Gentiles, and now the hall is filled with these guests that have responded to the invitation from the apostles. So again, clearly this is the gospel being by the apostles and others given to the Gentiles, and the place is filled. Verse 11, interesting, a little different thing comes. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So, what about this wedding garment? And I guess, you know, switching back to kind of a cultural thing here, too. Apparently, you know, for these big events like this, you know, often the person who is preparing the wedding feast or whatever would provide a garment for these people to wear at the feast. And you can think of it maybe away and cast them into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. So, this one that's been exposed as being a fake, a fraud, is bound and taken out and cast into outer darkness, and there'll be much weeping and gnashing of teeth, much discomfort, remorse, I guess, gnashing of teeth, much remorse over this, but it's going to be too late for that one that's been exposed at the wedding feast. And then, just as a reminder in verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. So this parable talks about the many that were called. The Israelites were all called. The Gentiles were called. Different people had the Jews had their excuses why they couldn't come. You know, and the Gentiles will have their excuses too. When you talk to people, you know, they've got excuses. You know, they, if you ask directly, what do you think is going to happen to you when you die? You know, you get kind of a couple of different reactions. You get this one, I've tried to live a pretty good life. You know, I don't think I'm as bad as the guy over here. So maybe God will cut me a break and let me into heaven based on these good works and these good living that I've done. That person